Welcome into After Hours with Black and Abdallah. Like and subscribe to the channel. And Abdallah, we are going to talk football. Ooh. Let's start with this today. NFL quarterback comparisons for the NFL draft. You and I, we came up with our own.
Oh, yeah. Let's set some unattainable expectations for these quarterbacks before they've even hit the field.
Well, everyone's doing it, I think when we watch these quarterbacks play, I think there are images and the likeness of how they play, and it's what we need to look at. So let's start first with Caleb Williams. I think the quarterback he looks like the most on the football field would be Aaron Rodgers. Grade this comparison. Aaron Rodgers for Caleb Williams.
No, I like this one because, one, he said it himself, right? Like, he said his favorite quarterback's Aaron Rodgers. If he could be like any quarterback, it would be Aaron Rodgers. I think the ability to work outside of the pocket and still make accurate throws outside of the pocket, behind the line of scrimmage, you know, before running and taking off, leads me to believe that that is an attainable comp. You know, the other comp has been Patrick Mahomes. I like to think of that comp more as him in college. What Patrick Mahomes looks like in college, because I don't think, listen, Aaron Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks of all time. Patrick Mahomes is probably better, and if not the best quarterback of all time, then once we get to, you know, a few more years down the road. But he went to how many straight AFC championship games? He just won another Super Bowl. Like, to put that comparison on Caleb Williams, I don't think is fair. I think this Aaron Rodgers one's pretty good.
Well, I'll say this. With Patrick Mahomes, he's the best quarterback many of us have ever seen.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a crazy thing to say. To me, it's like you go back to Dan Marino. Aaron Rodgers is in the conversation. Mm-hmm. There are different quarterbacks, and then you get to Brady and Manning. Like, that's the thing, is Mahomes has the skill and the track record of winning.
Yeah.
The one item that you do have to compare Caleb Williams and what he did at USC to Patrick Mahomes would be the escapability, and then once he escapes, continuously looking downfield to make that play.
Yeah.
Although, even though you can compare that to Patrick Mahomes, I think the Aaron Rodgers one is a better comparison because they both want to play from the pocket. Mm-hmm. Rodgers wants to play from the pocket. That's what Caleb Williams wants to do. And the movement and the way he throws and the quick release and the gun of an arm, I think that's where I compare him more to Aaron Rodgers and perhaps Patrick Mahomes. I just think it's a very easy comparison to see the running around and the crazy play from Mahomes and say, I saw that from Caleb Williams at USC.
Yeah.
But Aaron Rodgers is the comp. As we continue on, Drake May, my comparison for Drake May is Jordan Love.
Oh.
Seriously. Because, like, about the same size, mm-hmm. and with both quarterbacks, they have good movement in the pocket while keeping their upper body looking down the football field, and then the ability to make a throw, because Drake May wants to run sometimes, but most importantly, he wants to throw the football and keep that pocket clean. The ability to move up in the pocket, I think, is what reminds me the most of Jordan Love.
Also, you know, a lot of the people want to compare him to Josh Allen. Obviously, the arm strength isn't as strong as Josh Allen, so I think this Jordan Love one's a good comparison because the arm strength is there. It's not crazy. He's not going to throw a football a quarter mile, but he can make throws when he needs to. He will move around in the pocket. He wants to play within the flow of the offense and not really, you know, freelance like Caleb Williams will freelance if he has to. Doesn't like to, but he will. Whereas Drake May, it looked like this year, was more throwing the ball away than, you know, racking up a ton of interceptions.
Yeah, and when I think back to the way Jordan Love moves, it's a player that can run. Mm-hmm. I see the same from Drake May. But ideally, they stay in the pocket and they're making the precision throws from that platform. Yeah. Whether or not it's moving up in the pocket, moving side to side. That's one of the things when I watch Drake May play that I'm impressed with is that he can get bodied in the pocket, but he is staying with his ability, looking forward to still make the throw, even if there's some congestion and some some bodies around his lower body in the pocket, he's able to keep that platform and to make a throw. And then if he needed to run, he's an able runner. I think when some say that Drake May reminds him of Justin Herbert, to me, Justin Herbert's a thicker player.
He is.
And that's where I see a slender, more mobile Jordan Love as a better comparison there.
Yeah, he's also smaller than Josh Allen too, which is why I don't like it's not a great comparison. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, because Josh Allen and Justin Herbert are bigger big dudes, players. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I could see that. Let's move on to the next. Jaden Daniels. Hmm. I'm gonna compare him to Randall Cunningham.
Ooh, okay.
We'll go way back on this one, but Jaden Daniels, obviously the great season winning the Heisman Trophy last year, but to me, the number one attribute that he brings to the table is he wants to be a running quarterback. He's slight, though, and that's it reminds me of Randall Cunningham. He could run,
yeah,
but he was skinny, and those arms and legs went everywhere.
Because you're not going to call him Cam Newton, because Cam Newton was a beast.
He's not Cam, and I don't
he's
think
not
that
Justin Fields.
He's not built like Fields either.
No, he's really tall. He's lanky. That's where I'm worried. I'm worried about the frame, you know? Like, he's a lot taller than Bryce Young, but he's very slender, very small. He needs to put on some muscle. But you're right, that's a good one, just because of the want to run, but also, like, not being built to absorb a ton of hits.
That's why I was trying to think of a player that runs but isn't, like, a thicker athlete, right? Like, because like Kyler Murray is short,
yeah,
but he's stocky,
yeah,
like he could take the punishment. And same with Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Fields I think is a more durable player as well, and we've already seen, and you know, here in Chicago, that he is a guy that misses games because of the beating that he's taken.
That's what I'm kind of worried about with Jaden Daniels.
Of course it's what you worry about, and it's why it's surprising to me that a lot of draft boards have Jaden Daniels as the number two quarterback when I think Drake May is the better player. All right, moving on. J.J. McCarthy.
Hmm.
The comparison is Brock Purdy. Did we just put the kiss of death on J.J. McCarthy? Brock Purdy, what do you think?
Well, he's not going to be Mr. Irrelevant. He's not going to fall to the very end of the draft, but I think he's someone that would surprise me, right? Like the smaller guy, not small, but like small-ish guy, only can make throws. You can rely on him when you have to, but for a while we just didn't see it, and you wonder if he's a product of the offense that they ran at Michigan, where they ran the hell out of the ball. They didn't really ask him to do a lot, but when they did, he delivered, and that's kind of what Brock Purdy is. They run the ball a lot. It's short, intermediate throws, but when he has to make throws, he does, and that's why they were so successful this year.
I've seen some comparisons online that J.J. McCarthy reminds people of Kirk Cousins. So my question would be, what's the difference between Kirk Cousins and Brock Purdy?
Ooh,
like, couldn't those two star
Jefferson?
couldn't they star in their own football looper movie?
Yeah, I think
like,
so.
Like,
I
mean, eventually, isn't Brock Purdy just going to be Kirk Cousins, a guy that makes a lot of money, but it's really about all the pieces around him to get it done, and not necessarily his skill level?
Well, like, here's the thing. So Kirk Cousins has the better player. It's like, I'll compare it to music, right? Okay. The 49ers have a better album, but the better singular song is Justin Jefferson, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like the better complement of players of Ayuk and McCaffrey and all that kind of Kittle and everything, that's the 49ers, like, by far. But Cousins had the better player in Justin Jefferson, and it might have led to why he got a huge contract and all that kind of stuff. It might be a lot of Justin Jefferson. So I could see J.J. McCarthy coming in. If he has a good cast of characters, or if he goes to the Vikings, he'll be successful if they keep Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, to me, J.J. McCarthy, if he's a Patriot on draft night next Thursday,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's going to have success. To me, that's just like Mac Jones 2.0.
Yeah.
But if you're right, if he goes to a team that has something around him, I could see it working out. I just don't think that it's going to work because of him.
Hmm.
So that's where we go, J.J. McCarthy and Brock Purdy. If we move on to Michael Penix Jr., the comparison will be Tua Tagovailoa. Now,
frail. No.
when you look at it, yeah, both have had injury history.
Yeah.
Both players left-handed. Both players can sling it.
Yes.
I think the thing that I think of when I look at these two players is that the accuracy down the field from both the arm strength, it's both there. And I think that's why it's a good comparison. Neither player wants to be a mobile, moving, running quarterback. No. They want to throw the football. And that's where we get Tua Tagovailoa being the comparison for Michael Penix.
And I think the biggest knock on Tua, especially me being an Alabama fan, is coming out of college when he had that gruesome injury where he did something to his hip, like the tendon off the bone. And like it was just a matter of what's going to happen when he gets hit again. Right? Is he going to be able to withstand taking hits in the NFL? And I think that's kind of the wonder for Michael Penix Jr. is we've seen the knee injuries. He played banged up most of the year last year. He was always kind of grimacing. He did have some injuries, but he played through a lot of them. Is he going to be able to withstand the hits and the speed in the NFL? I agree with the comparisons and the arm strength and the left-handedness and all that kind of stuff, but to me it's coming into the NFL with injury concern, because if Penix was completely healthy and had full use of his knees and didn't have the ACL tears and all that kind of stuff, I think he'd be going much higher. I think we'd be talking about Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Michael Penix, and then J.J. McCarthy. Like he is shooting up the draft board, whatever that means, but we would be talking about him being a top 10 quarterback.
What's surprising to me about that is if you go back to the college football season, Michael Penix was the story.
Yeah.
Like he was the player that led the team, that was winning the tough games, that were heading to the college football playoff. Always found a way. They came up just short to Michigan, but that Washington team was the story of college football last year, the way they were able to win those games late. So I hope Penix is good. He's a player I like watching.
I like rooting for him. Yeah.
He'll try and make the throw that some quarterbacks, McCarthy, won't attempt. Our final comparison is Bo Nix. Ugh. And Adam's comparison to the player most like Bo Nix, he's picking Matt Ryan. Oh, that's a good one. How about that?
I feel like, look, Matt Ryan's a very good quarterback, right? I think that he...
Very good. Wasn't he a number one draft pick?
Yeah. He was a great quarterback. Yeah. And I think that he's not someone that's going to cost you football games, right? I don't think Bo Nix is going to come in. I ignore the Auburn tape. I think you can light the Auburn tape on fire. Like, I know that people think he's a product of the system of Oregon. I think he showed at Oregon that he can make every throw that you ask him to. And I think that he's resilient. I think he can, if you ask him to manage the game, he can manage the game. If you ask him to make throws and you put good wide, because when Matt Ryan was with the Falcons, they had a fantasy football team as far as wide receivers go. Like, they had the fastest team you could ever put together. They were great. And Matt Ryan was able to find the guys that got open and get them the football. And I think that Bo Nix will be able to do the same thing. I don't know if he's going to go into a Super Bowl. I don't know if he's going to accomplish all the same things that Matt Ryan did. But I still think that people are discounting Bo Nix. And I think because he's going to fall, if he goes into the right situation, I think he can be successful pretty early on, because he's probably going to go to a team that doesn't need a quarterback right away or is in transition. Or, you know, like let's say the Cowboys get crazy and draft Bo Nix. Like, if the Cowboys get crazy and draft Bo Nix, they decide not to pay Dak Prescott.
And they wait,
and he sits for a year or wait till Dak gets hurt or whatever, like, he's going to have an opportunity to come in with a good offensive line, with great wide receivers, and be successful, I think, almost immediately.
Yeah, you know what's fascinating about this comparison is you think about the way the players look when they're playing the position, and Matt Ryan, to me, was the type of quarterback that's not going to beat you with the killer arm or the legs. It was more of like a mind game. Mm-hmm. And I felt like many times last year, Bo Nix, because he was in college for 37 years between Auburn and Oregon, he was an older player in college football. He was smarter, and he was able to dictate how the offense kind of flowed, and he was making smart decisions, and Oregon had a really successful year. So I do like the comparison to Matt Ryan. I don't know if necessarily the high end of the comparison where Matt Ryan won an MVP. Bo Nix can win an NFL MVP, but I do think he could be a solid starter in the league. And maybe you kind of throw some shades of what we were discussing with J.J. McCarthy, right?
Kirk Cousins.
You're talking Kirk Cousins, Brock Purdy, Jimmy Garoppolo. Those are the players like, kind of hanging around where they're not going to kill you with their legs, but maybe they're figuring out the game at a higher level and they're smarter and they can hang around in the NFL for a little bit of time.
Like if he ends up having Kirk Cousins' career, I think he's very successful.
Oh, right? Yeah. Like, Bo Nix? Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I could see that, but you could also maybe
Cousins
say,
isn't winning an MVP. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's not winning an MVP, and I don't think that Bo Nix has like the arm talent that, say, like Sam Howell has for the Commanders last year. Like, I don't think Bo Nix can get it done like that. No. I think he has to try and play it like he's Brock Purdy or Matt Ryan. So there you go. Quarterback comparisons as we head into the NFL draft here on Bleck and Abdallah.
Roast us in the comments.
Yeah, tell us how we did. I think the Randall Cunningham one is really good.
I think that's
for
a good one. That's
good.
That's my favorite one. Yeah.
I think that's really good. Plus, the old school Eagles uniforms are outstanding.
So pretty, yeah.
The NBA play-in games start tonight. In the Western Conference, the Lakers and the Pelicans face off, and then the Warriors face off against the Kings. Tomorrow night, Abdallah, here locally, we'll have our eyes on the Hawks and the Bulls, and then also the Heat and the 76ers face off. Are you in or out on the play-in games for the NBA? This isn't new this season, but to me, it's all just kind of like we're going to watch the games,
yeah,
but it feels like a waste of time. Can we just get to the playoffs already?
I think it'd be cool if the Lakers lose to the Pelicans and have to face the Warriors in like a winner-take-all type of game. Like you get LeBron against Steph, right? So, like that to me is the only good outcome of these games.
So would that mean LeBron and Steph, that's the end? We're no longer are they in the conversation for like,
no.
Like, doesn't it feel like a passing of the guard? Like this moment in time, like we originally the playing games, we saw LeBron and Steph.
Yeah.
But there were like injury reasons to why both of those teams are there. This was essentially a healthy run for 82 games for the Lakers and the Warriors, and they're back in the same spot fighting to get into the playoffs.
But the video montages are going to have all their great battles from when they were in the finals against each other and all that kind of stuff, and then you're going to get like a play-in game.
I don't know. I kind of feel like
I think they're stupid. But
I feel like tonight's like the end of the Golden State Warriors run.
Yeah, probably.
Like you can't lose a play-in game and still be contending for championships. I'm sorry, you can't.
No.
You can't have two timelines, years, whatever they were saying in the Bay, saying Joe Lacob was suggesting that they were going to continue on the run after Steph Curry. Mm. Good luck with that. But yeah, you're right. LeBron, there's a chance that that could set up.
Yeah.
Although I would like to see Zion Williamson like dominate tonight and be like, I'm taking over the West. Like LeBron,
cool.
Thanks for your time, my man.
Yeah, it'd be very cool.
Focus on where you're going to play with your son, who's not good enough to be in the draft.
Is he?
I don't know. He's not going to get drafted. I'm telling you right now. Who's taking a second-round pick on a kid that couldn't even start for his team in college?
If you want LeBron to come to your team, you take a chance. That's why.
It's stupid.
It is.
Abdallah saw this online. Pablo Torre's podcast featured the New York Knicks in their pitch video to LeBron James, what, back in 2010?
2010, yeah. So LeBron was being pitched to go to the New York Knicks, and Pablo Torre found the video that they used, and part of it features a lot of New York elites that might have to be scrubbed from the video.
Oh, no.
Now. But
who are you talking about with that?
Google it. But the main part that I wanted to focus on is how stupid they tried to bring the Sopranos into it. They brought in Carmela and Tony Soprano and had them live through, like, the end of the Sopranos. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the Sopranos, you weirdo. By now, you don't know what happens. It just fades to black. We don't know if it cuts to black. It's not a fade. It's an abrupt cut. We don't know whether Tony Soprano lives or dies. The creator has come out and said that he dies and gets killed there, whatever. But in this alternate reality, they live in New York, which isn't too far from New Jersey, in the Witness Protection Program. One, any wise guy in New York would find Tony Soprano living in Witness Protection Program right away. You'd have to go to like Albuquerque or Omaha or somewhere crazy where no one's ever going to find you again, like they did at the end of Goodfellas, right?
Yep.
They just go to New York and they're shopping for real estate for their new neighbor, LeBron James. And how is he going to do in, and like Gandolfini didn't even shave. he's just like, yeah, okay. And then they're looking at real estate. They find like, oh, maybe we use this place, but it could be pretty noisy. And it's a picture of Madison Square Garden. And Gandolfini then says, yeah, that's perfect. I'll tell him about it. And that's the end. Why are we wasting this kind of money and resources? Like, they had to produce this. You can't do what you could do now. Now you could use AI. You could do whatever you wanted to, right? You could fake Gandolfini. You could fake Carmella. You could do whatever you wanted to. And you could fake that and put that into a pitch video. Before, like, you had to get them to act this stuff out.
Well, I mean, the reason teams did this because every team was pulling out all the stops to land LeBron James in that summer. It was a crazy summer. I mean, I know here with the Chicago Bulls, they were trying to do everything they could to convince LeBron and D-Wade and Chris Bosh to be interested in joining the Chicago Bulls. So it doesn't surprise me. Years ago, wasn't there something like the Lakers put together that was like kind of like the same type of idea? It was like a fake
video. I remember the Cubs did it.
And the Lakers tried to do that for a free agent before?
Well, the Cubs did it for John Lester, and they had him on the mound when they won the World Series, which is also a flaw because why would he be on the mound if he's a starting pitcher?
No, didn't the Cubs try and do the same thing for Shohei Ohtani?
I think they
submitted like a 3D AI video of Shohei walking on the mound at Wrigley Field to try and pitch him in this past off season. So teams do that, but that's crazy.
So stupid. Because here's the thing. If LeBron is a Sopranos fan, he would know right away, oh, they're in witness protection program in New York, dead immediately. Like dead immediately. There's an entire episode where Tony finds someone in witness protection and instantly kills him.
Where would you go if you had to go into witness protection? Where would you try?
I'd want to go somewhere warm. So I'd probably go to like Albuquerque or somewhere.
Not like South America?
No, I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, get out of the country.
I don't know if I could be protected outside of the country. I think you're easier to get in other countries than you are in the United States. Well, yeah, because there's
Aren't you easier wherever you can't be found? That's the easiest.
Well,
place.
No, they got to bury you in like Omaha or like some weird like small town where no one like in Palm Springs, Omaha, Nebraska. Palm Springs, Nebraska. Is that a place?
I think Palm Springs is in California.
There is a Palm Springs. There's a Palm. Isn't there a Palm Springs in Florida too?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Finally, here on After Hours with Black and Abdallah, since the playing games start up tonight and then there will be games tomorrow, technically the playing games are not a part of the NBA playoffs.
They're not.
What takes place is whoever those two teams that win in the playing games, they become the 7th and the 8th seed in the playoffs for both the Eastern and the Western Conference. But on our radio show, Black and Abdallah, we like to salute Pitbull at the start of the NBA playoffs each and every year.
Mm-hmm.
This is back from 2014 on ABC, the playoff intro for the games of the NBA playoffs. Here's Pitbull. Yes. Play. Yes. Sing, quad, love it. Uno. It's open now. Oh, yeah. That's an entire song. Just change words to basketball things.
Yep.
It's great.
That's the best part. I'm trying to pull up the lyrics now. It's so good. The bigger the heart, the harder they ball. He just said, like, slam dunk playoffs. Like,
crossover slam dunk playoffs.
It's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
You have the Kesha in the background?
Of course. Kesha was hot in the streets back then.
Like, this is one of the all-time intros to a sports
event. Yeah, they should still use this.
They absolutely should.
Just change the players.
They should run it every year.
Pitbull's awesome. Everyone loves Pitbull. If you don't, you're a bad person. You don't like fun. And just switch out the players.
Every year. That's what you. Every year you should run that.
It's the NBA on NBC theme.
Yeah.
Pitbull.
Round Ball Rock
from
John Tesh.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the Pitbull song.
That's it.
That's all you need in
There's
life.
Only two.
Thank you for watching After Hours. Like and subscribe to the page. You can also download this podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Thanks for watching.